This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, July 6th, 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucady with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Today on the show, we'll talk to Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. We'll talk to Adam Teicher, who covers the Chiefs for ESPN.com. And we'll get the forecast from Gary Lezak. All that between now and 10 o'clock. We've also got a whole bunch of sound from the weekend that we're going to play for you to update you on the latest in all the different sports that are trying to come back. We've got some more sound from what you just heard. You heard Ariel Helwani. That was earlier Sunday morning. Since then, the deal has been done, and so they are not in negotiations. That is a done deal for Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman for the title on Saturday night on Fight Island. And so we will hear from Dana White. We have a good 2.5 minutes from Dana White on how this fight came together. And so we'll hear that a little bit later. Also, we heard from Sean Doolittle, Washington Nationals reliever. He was very open and honest about his approach and maybe how he's really not a whole, not 100% confident in everything that's going on around him as the Nationals and the rest of the teams in MLB return to action. And so we'll hear more from a good press conference from Sean Doolittle. Also, of course, Buster Olney. We've got some stuff from J.J. Redick. Taylor Twellman will give his thoughts about the anxiety within MLS. Buster Olney with more on perhaps the Cleveland Indians changing their name after the Washington Redskins might be changing their name. We have some other good stuff, too, from Dominic Cruz. We'll hear from Buster on more on the return of baseball. Jeff Schwartz, ESPN NFL analyst, on the lack of preseason games and how that should play out for NFL players. All that and a whole bunch more coming up now, between now and 10 o'clock. And, of course, Salvador Perez. We have some comments from Salvador Perez as he was on a Zoom conference with the media right after it was announced that he had tested positive for COVID-19. So, Salvador Perez, but he was in high spirits and spoke with the media, and so we will play that for you coming up on the show as well. But that was obviously one of the biggest stories of the weekend, even though he is asymptomatic, and he, as you heard, if you listen to the conference call, in good spirits, but Salvi's always in good spirits. But the Royals made that announcement Saturday. He has 12 days remaining. Let's see. So now 12. So he has 10 more days remaining in his 14-day quarantine at home. He said he didn't feel anything. He said nobody else in his family tested positive. He said, please wear your mask. You never know where you can get it. And so we will hear more from Salvador Perez and other players, as we expected, including superstar first baseman for the Atlanta Braves, Freddie Freeman, and others have tested positive. And so, and then you heard there the, I guess anxiety would be a good word, or just you heard the voice of Sean Doolittle there, who isn't quite sure what's going on as far as the process of getting tested and getting the results and getting tested again, so we can play some more of that as well. So there's a lot to talk about with Major League Baseball and the NBA and MLS all trying to return. MLS is coming up this week, but I don't know. Nate, is it coming up this week?
Well, the latest I read last night is that the plans for MLS are still to play their first game, which is scheduled to be on Wednesday between Orlando City and Inter Miami. That's supposed to be the big kickoff event since Orlando City is the host of it, and their new rival, the new team from Miami, we're going to play each other, and that's still on for now. That game is supposedly going to go forward, but several of the games that come right after that are being rescheduled right now because they need more time in the bubble to try to get the guys all under quarantine, make sure that the teams are safe enough and there are enough negative tests and enough time to train to play. So I'm not taking anything for granted at this point, Stephen. That's the plan right now.
Doesn't sound like much of a plan, but
well, it certainly doesn't sound ideal, does it? I mean, the issue right now in MLS, they have one team that's had a complete outbreak. That's FC Dallas. They have over 10 guys on the players that have tested positive, plus some coaches. They have had to quarantine the whole team, and they can't train. And so not only do you have to push it back so that you can have enough guys, they actually theoretically have enough guys to play the game. They got 15 guys, but they haven't been able to train for several days. And there are several other teams that have delayed their flights down to Orlando because of positive tests before they even got there. And so those teams have gone a few days without training. And soccer is not the kind of sport you can just walk out on the field without being in top shape and try to play, really. I mean, it's a physical fitness is a huge component to the game, and if you're not training to be able to go out and play 90 minutes is very problematic. So what they're saying right now is they feel like if they get everybody in the bubble and get all the positive tests, find out who has it, get them separated, if they have enough time down there, then they can get the situation under control and then play. But they're certainly not. It's not hard to find quotes from doctors out there that think that's not much of a plan. So, but there's a lot riding on trying to play. So they're going to give it every shot that they can to make it happen and play. So we'll see.
In Sporting thought they had a positive test and then they didn't.
Yeah, they had a preliminary positive, and then they came back and said that was a confirmed negative, and that player came back and was training. And I didn't understand how that could work, so I talked to a buddy of mine who's a doctor, an ER doctor, who I asked him about it, and he said, you know, it's possible that when they say preliminary positive, there's a lot of different types of tests, and there's a lot of different types of levels of accuracy to them. So they might be doing a thing where it's like, you know, you take a test that day that you can get results within minutes or hours or whatever, and that one could say you have a red flag here, but we're like, you know, there's a wider range of whether or not, you know, you are going to come up as positive or negative on that test. So that's like the preliminary test. That one comes back right away, and if a red flag comes up, it's like, hey, this guy might be positive, then you send it off to the more stringent test system that takes a little longer to process, and that one is a little more accurate and can say, yeah, no, he's got it, he doesn't have it. Then you retest him, and supposedly he was that. So that's what happened. And I can't imagine Sporting would put anybody out there that wasn't a 100% confirmed negative if there was a red flag like that. And that's what they said, and that player was back in training. So far for Sporting, now they just got down to the bubble yesterday. They retest everybody once they get into the bubble. And that's what's happened with FC Dallas is those guys tested negative in Dallas. Then they got down to Orlando and a bunch of guys tested positive. So you gotta pass more screening once you get down there. But for now anyway, Sporting's been one of the teams that hasn't really seemed to have had an issue. But and FC Dallas is the team that's had a big issue because they've had a bunch of guys test positive. Outside of that, it's been a guy here and a guy there. Maybe one guy on a team here. I don't think any team that I know of has had more than two guys test positive outside of FC Dallas. So,
and a reminder of how this is what's going to happen even after the let's see, Major League Baseball, for example. Once that returns, you just have to condition yourself that any player at any time, doesn't matter who it is, all of a sudden you could be, you know, getting ready to watch the game that night and you get word that they tested positive and they're gone for 2 weeks. And so that's going to be a hell of a challenge for teams. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is for fans. Like if this happens with Salvi during the season, Salvi's gone for 2 weeks. Losing Salvi for, you know, 2 weeks of games in a 60-game season would be devastating for the Royals. So thankfully this is happening now, but he's not the last player that this is going to happen to. This is going to continue to happen, and that's why they have so many options for teams to keep that roster full, and why they have that 60-man roster and the taxi squad and everything else that they know they're going to need to get through even a 60-game season, as we found out on Saturday when the Royals announced that Salvador Perez had tested positive. His manager, Mike Matheny, said that he empathizes with Salvi because he went through it too. Mike Matheny said that this is his quote, "I've actually been in the position that he's in right now because I had this stuff about a month ago. I think it's a given. I think it's given me a little more empathy, but also the urgency to understand we need to be careful and this thing is for real." Matheny said that he believes he was exposed by a family member sometime in early June. And he said that he described the timing as perfect for him and his wife to quarantine and ride out the virus. And Salvi, and so now Salvi is, like I said, got 10 more days left in his quarantine and will need to pass two consecutive COVID-19 screenings before being cleared to rejoin the team. Let's hear Salvador Perez talking about this on Saturday.
No, now I'll be positive on the COVID-19. Asymptomatic, I don't feel anything. And in my home right now, nobody in my family get positive. Everybody was negative. Everybody do the test 2 days ago and yesterday too. So, hey, the way you see me, it's, I am like that, bro. I'm super happy, you know, excited to be back to the with the team when the guy, I think we're going to be a great team in this season, and I can't wait to be back. I know it's going to take me at least 12 days, but I'm good. I don't feel anything. That's a good thing for me.
That was on Saturday, and you heard him mention that he had 12 days left of his quarantine. So now 10 days left in the quarantine, but then he has to pass two consecutive COVID-19 screenings before being cleared to rejoin the team. So there's that splash of reality in your face that doesn't matter. Even if they start the season, this is going to be something that MLB will have to work through and battle through the entire 60-game season. And it's gonna affect the season too. It's gonna affect the standings. You know?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, best. You know, no one is immune from it. And once it happens, no matter whether they're asymptomatic or not, they're gone for 2 weeks. So.
And that's, yeah, and then you have to factor in the possibility that some guys will get it and have symptoms. And how long do they have those symptoms? Because we've heard a lot of stories. You know, we heard from Tommy Hotovy how long he was he was knocked out by this thing. And he's a coach. He's not a player. But there's going to be some players that have it and have the bad reaction to it, where you're down and out for possibly weeks on end. There's an article I just read about a person in his 20s who, just here in Kansas City, was in the hospital for 70 days because of this. So, you know, there, who knows? I mean, some guys have no symptoms. Other guys are in the hospital for several days. And so, yeah, I mean, that – and. So yes, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to whatever sport it is that you like. You're gonna have guys that are testing positive for it.
And that's why. Well, look, you're first of all, you're never happy that anyone tests positive. That's let me say that. But I mean, that's why the UFC, it ended up, as far as from a fan perspective, they went from losing the main event to the pay-per-view on coming up on Saturday night. Their main event between Kamaru Usman and Gilbert Burns. But they were fortunate enough now to be able to replace that with a fight that more people want to see as Jorge Masvidal steps in. But only this fight is only happening now because Gilbert Burns and two members of his team tested positive for COVID-19. But thankfully, Jorge Masvidal was ready to take the fight on a week's notice, and it's good to go. And so that actually worked out. And it sucks for Gilbert Burns because he's on a tremendous hot streak right now and has risen to the number one contender spot and had a title shot, you know, a life-changing moment for any fighter, and he loses that. But hopefully he'll just be able to challenge whoever wins this fight. But you never know. You never know if he gets that spot again. You would think the UFC would get him back in the cage for a title shot whenever he's clear and the next opportunity, but I mean, it ain't going to work out like that for Major League Baseball. When you lose a star, another star can step in there that's just sitting, you know, mm-hmm. sitting out on the sidelines. But
yeah, you don't have another Salvador Perez right. just hanging out. Hey, why don't right. you play catcher for us for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, exactly. Mike McFarland's like, I'm good.
Thank you, my friend.
Come in there. Boy, would I love that, though, if Mac just stepped up and caught for two. He's got 2 weeks in on my base. He's got 2 weeks in those knees. But, yeah, that was what a wild story to follow over the weekend that was to watch this come together, and now we end up with a fight, or at least fight fans end up with a fight that we always wanted. Going back to the altercation they had at the Super Bowl when I was running down the corridor with my phone, And just after that, I interviewed Kamaru Usman down at the Super Bowl. I did not interview him on camera, but talked to Jorge Masvidal off camera. And now we get that fight. Oh, I really want it to be Saturday. Let's take a break and see if we can get closer to Saturday in this commercial break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38th The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. We're going to listen to a couple of clips from Washington Nationals reliever Sean Doolittle, who spoke to the media over the weekend. Here is Sean Doolittle on whether or not we are bringing sports back too quick.
These guys, we're trying to bring baseball back during a pandemic.
But I do think it's slightly bigger for
130,000 people. We're way worse off as a country than where we were in March when we shut this thing down. And like, look at where other developed countries are in their response to this. We haven't done any of the things that other countries have done to bring sports back. Sports are like the reward of a functional society. And we're just trying to just bring it back, even though we've taken none of the steps to flatten the curve, whatever you want to say. We did flatten the curve for a little bit, but we didn't use that time to do anything productive. We just opened back up for Memorial Day. We decided we're done with it. If there aren't sports, it's going to be because people are not wearing masks, because the response to this has been so politicized. Like, we need help from the general public. If they want to watch baseball, like, please wear a mask, social distance, keep washing your hands. We can't just have virus fatigue and think, well, it's been 4 months, like, we're over it. This has been enough time, right? We've waited long enough. Like, shouldn't sports come back now? No, there's things we have to do in order to bring the stuff back. And now you want to bring fans back? Is that safe? I'm not a public health expert, but like, we should probably defer to them on some of these issues. So I don't know. I don't know if it's safe or not. I really don't know.
Here, Sean Doolittle says that the tests have to be available sooner.
So as the season moves forward, as we continue spring training, especially once we start traveling, those results got to be back. That's one of the biggest things, that there were a lot of guys that are on the fence that decided to try to play to see how this was going to go, because we were going to have our results within 48 hours. Hopefully that's something that we can address and improve moving forward.
And finally, Sean Doolittle said that if he plans to play, this is what makes him nervous.
I think I'm planning on playing, but if at any point this I start to feel unsafe, if it starts to take a toll on my mental health with all these things that we have to worry about and just kind of this cloud of uncertainty hanging over everything, you know, then I'll opt out. But, you know, for now, I've prepared for the last 3 months like I'm going to play. I feel ready to go. But, you know, as I sit here talking to you guys, I still don't have my test results from Friday's test. So, like, I got tested again this morning without knowing the results of my test from Friday. So we got to clean that up, right? So, like, that's one thing that, like, makes me a little nervous.
That is Sean Doolittle of the Washington Nationals giving you a little window into the mind of a Major League Baseball player trying to return to the field with the rest of his teammates and the rest of the league. And that's, a noteworthy player, the closer for the world champion Washington Nationals, Nate Buchanan.
Yeah, and I can say that, you know, with MLS trying to get back to starting in 3 days from now, these issues that he talked about in terms of getting test results has been an issue for certain teams. I know one of the teams that was scheduled to head down to Orlando to go into the MLS bubble, apparently, according to reports, they went to the airport without having received all the tests yet, results yet for their team, and they sat in the airplane for an hour and a half waiting for some of those results, and then finally just decided to pack things up and go back home and delay their flight because they still hadn't had all the results back. So that's a challenge too. I think each team has a different, you know, they've got to go out and acquire their tests. There might be different companies that they're using to do those tests. So a lot of people to test, and you got to test them repeatedly. Because that's one of the things as well. The reason that 14-day quarantine takes place is because you're having a lot of guys test negative. They're actually carrying the virus, but it doesn't show up on a test right away oftentimes. That's why they have this 14-day quarantine. If you travel to a hot spot in, you know, certain states, they want you to quarantine for 14 days. Sometimes it takes that long to present symptoms, and sometimes it takes that long to present a positive test. So just because you tested positive today kind of doesn't necessarily mean you don't have it. You could test positive tomorrow. So it's not just about testing. It's about, like, testing repeatedly. And, yeah, the tests are only as good as the results. Like, if you get tested and you don't have the results, it doesn't really do you any good, does it?
Yeah, well, a lot of times in my life I took tests and I did not want the results.
Yeah, go ahead, Professor. Just, you know, I don't need my results back that quickly. Take your time.
Oh, you're talking about school. Okay, great.
Oh, well.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was talking about. I lost my train of thought. Jake, what are you doing?
Hello.
Every test I took in school, I didn't want back. When I started laughing, I was not laughing. At an examination.
Yeah, you weren't.
Right.
You were thinking of other types of tests.
Yeah.
Here's the, here's an example of what Jorge Masvidal has to go through, right, to get all these different obstacles. He agrees to, first of all, you get him to agree to the fight, then the financial terms, and then you got all the real obstacles ahead of him. So he tested, and it was all right. He passed his COVID test. And so now, with the negotiations out of the way, signing the contracts out of the way, the first COVID test is out of the way. This is what's next. And Ariel Helwani did a nice job of mapping this out for everybody so they can understand that this thing could still fall apart. Now he's going to fly to Abu Dhabi, takes the second COVID test at the hotel, and then he quarantines and waits to see if he passed the test. So then you take the third COVID test, and again, quarantine and wait to pass the test. And once he's taken those two, once he gets to Abu Dhabi, then he has to make weight on Friday, then take a fourth COVID test after the weigh-ins on Friday, and then quarantine himself until they get the test results. And then if all that is clear, then he fights for the welterweight title on Saturday night. How about that for a week?
Yeah.
Woo! I mean, you, and he, this will be his 49th fight before he finally gets a title fight. I think it's the second most ever fights for someone in the UFC or a UFC fighter before they get their shot at the UFC title. And he's obviously one of the most popular fighters in the UFC, one of the most exciting fighters, and he had an unbelievable year last year with his three wins over Darren Till, Ben Askren, and Nate Diaz. And so he deserves the title shot. But there was a time we didn't think they'd even get through the negotiations. He's been one of the guys that's been right there on the front of this battle between some of the big-name fighters and Dana White over what fighters get paid, or more importantly, what they don't get paid. But so let's go ahead and assume that he got paid. He got, because he was in a situation where not only, and you know what, I don't want to say save the pay-per-view, because there's two other title fights that are awesome on the card. It's a really, it's a stacked card, but you went from, okay, this is a good deep card, it's going to be pretty good for fight fans, to where now the pay-per-view numbers are going to be way bigger than they were than if the main event was Usman and Burns, because this is the fight that most fight fans wanted to see. And you'll get more casual fight fans wanting to see Usman and Masvidal because of the feud, because of the rivalry, and because that's who you want to see. That's the fight that's been building and percolating for a year now. And so all this comes together. They're able to get him, you know, to not only accept the fight, but accept the terms. He passes the test, but he's still got three more tests to pass and make weight. But he was training, I think, up until about 2 weeks ago. And so I think I hope he makes weight. I mean, that, watch it. Like, yeah, imagine that. Just, you know, I don't think he would have taken the fight if he was going to miss, if he thought he was going to miss weight. And this is something that he fought of all the great fights, going back to being 19 years old and fighting Kimbo Slice's protege in a backyard fight that went viral on YouTube. From all that to where he is now and a chance to fight for the UFC championship on 8 days' notice, and here he is. But I thought that was interesting to hear all. So four different tests in a week he will have to pass, the last one being right after weigh-ins on Friday before they let him fight on Saturday. So UFC apparently doing a better job of that than what Sean Doolittle thinks of Major League Baseball and how they're handling it.
Well, you know what? It's an individual sport. UFC has some advantages right now. And one of the advantages, they got somebody in Dana White that's a strong leader that doesn't really have to face a whole lot of resistance. He can put together a plan and start to, you know, and implement it, and he does a really good job of that. But also, you know, you're testing, you're talking about like testing how many fighters before an event, as opposed to, so we're upwards of 60 guys on every single baseball team. You know, when you get to football, it's going to be over 60 guys probably, if you count practice squad and all that. Not this, to mention all the coaches and
just
trainers.
Me. Sounds like baseball was busy haggling over money instead of worrying about the issues that are currently at hand when you're actually going to play a sport.
Oh, we still got to worry about that?
Well, baseball does not have strong leadership.
Right, yeah. That's
that's an easy way of describing all this, right?
Yep.
Correct.
You said, USC has strong leadership, whether you agree with it or not, strong leadership, and that's why they are doing very well right now. Baseball does not have strong leadership. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so what Sean Doolittle says, his concerns, does that surprise anyone? Like, oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe they're not doing this right. I mean, wow. I hope it all works out.
Well, shoot, yeah. I mean, I do too, but
I mean, and not even in COVID, it doesn't matter. Every spring training, every right before the season, I feel like I'm conditioned. Like, okay, what's going to happen to Salvi now? Right?
Hey, what happened?
Jeez, Salvi. Salvi be back and ready to go in 2 weeks.
That's right.
Come on. Just don't let him carry any luggage. And watch.
Thank you, my friend.
Watch his repaired elbow.
Thank you, my friend.
And be careful of his knees.
Thank you, my friend.
Look, I just want to see Salvi play baseball. I feel like that's, you know.
Man, I just want to see baseball.
When's the last time I seen Salvi play baseball?
Whew.
Sorry, I miss Salvi.
Thank you, my friend.
You have to thank me by playing. Thank me by getting healthy, Salvi. Thank you. That is Salvador Perez thanking us. We will take a break back after this on WHB.
Thank you, my friend.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here's some more from our baseball insider, Buster Olney from ESPN. He was on SportsCenter yesterday, and here he describes the biggest unknown that Major League Baseball is facing.
Will the players continue to follow the health and safety protocol? This has been a drumbeat in clubhouses all around across baseball in the last couple days. Managers, coaches, players speaking to this. Number two, because baseball players are not living in a bubble, when they go home, will they be exposed to the coronavirus with family and friends? Will they take that back in? And number three, will there be a major illness or worse that will change the conversation and the feeling around the game? I can tell you yesterday when word got out that Freddie Freeman, the respected all-star for the Braves, has a high fever coronavirus, that really shook a lot of people around the game. There's so much uncertainty about what direction this is going.
And one more from Buster. Here is Buster answering the question. And I asked him this last week when he was on the show, if he thinks more players will end up opting out of the season.
There is an expectation that more players will drop out. Now, look, those test results we got on Friday, 1.2%, that provided a beachhead of hope around the game. And you heard that in talking with officials and with players yesterday. Guys were going through their workouts. They're doing their thing. But there's so much uncertainty. And we heard that from Mike Trout on Friday. We heard it from Buster Posey yesterday. And the fact that so many respected veterans now have decided to step away, I think will give players a clear opportunity to assess their own situation as to whether or not they're going to continue.
David Price, Felix Hernandez, they've both opted out. David Price said that after considerable thought and discussion with my family and the Dodgers, I've decided it's the best interest of my health and my family's health for me not to play this season. And went on to say, he'll miss his teammates. Stay safe, be well, and be kind. Go Dodgers.
It helps that he has $64 million guaranteed coming to him in 2021 and 2022.
Then, of course, after that post was made, then all of his mentions from his former teams, then saying that they wish he would have opted out during the postseason. That's not nice. It's not nice.
As a Royals fan, I'm glad he didn't.
To him.
As a Royals fan, I'm glad he didn't opt out with the Blue
Jays.
It's not nice
at this point to say that. Okay, the man has struggled in the postseason, and he's trying to make a thoughtful decision here, and now's not the time for Blue Jay fan to get in one final dig. You know, it's not right, Nate. I don't care what you say.
Well, it's hurtful, you know, for David Price.
I mean, you're not for Royals fans. It's not
no.
too hurt, but
nope.
You know, Tampa fans were in there, Detroit, Toronto, Boston, all this. Hey, he helped Boston win a ring. Damn it!
That's right.
You know, Boston fans are just mad at anything at all times. So, you know, Dodger fans are mad. But no David Price. David Price, just to let
you
know,
Harris
the Royals,
on.
in the 2015 ALCS had a 5.40 ERA. So
probably pretty good compared to his ERA in other postseasons.
Well, his career postseason ERA is 4.62.
Mm-hmm.
5.63. There, now see, there's where he struggled. In 8 ALDS series appearances, right? He was 1-8 with a 5.63 ERA in 56 innings in the ALDS, and that's 8 games started with 11 games pitched in. That's bad. That is really bad.
And the Price pitch, and a swing and a looper into left center, a base hit. Rounding third and heading home, Zobrist. On his way to third is Kane, an RBI single for Hosmer, and it's 3-1. Blue Jays 3, Royals 1. The set by Price. Runner goes from first. The 0-1 ground ball to short. And Tulowitzki's only play is to first. The run comes in to score. And it's 3-2. 2-2 the count on a Moustakas. And the pitch. And a swing and a base hit into right field. Bautista has it. Runner heading home. Throw to the plate up the line. The run scores. Moustakas to second on the throw, and the Royals have tied it. The pitch, and a swing and a base hit into right center. Moustakas will come in to score. Gordon on his way to second. It's an RBI double. Kansas City has the lead.
Thank you, David Price.
He got better in the ALCS, 4.10 ERA in 26 innings. And then he was really good in the World Series in 2018, 2-0 with a 2.12. So he got, you know, what, ALDS? That's unbelievable. I mean, seriously. I know, I get it. Win-loss record means nothing anymore. But, boy, that's saying something. If you had 11 appearances and 8 starts and you were 1-8, you somehow got tagged with 8 losses in the ALDS. That's... Did you know it was that bad?
I just remember... I don't know.
But that's almost impossible to actually have 8 losses, and you started 8 games. You had 3 relief appearances, but... That's almost impossible. So... But no David Price this season, so... No reason to fill his mentions with those barbs, people. Back off.
He will
back
not
after
do
this on WHB. What's that?
No, I was just going to say he will not do poorly in the postseason this year.
All right. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, July 6, 2020, coming up. Just before 8 o'clock, we'll get the forecast from Gary Lezak. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star will be our guest. Then we'll talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN. And we will get Adam's thoughts on Chris Jones and what's happening. We don't want something to happen and all of a sudden we're like, hey, what happened? We want to know what's happening.
I don't
Adam
think
Teicher.
So.
Hey, what happened?
Well, tell us at 9:05. All that and more coming up right here on this Monday edition of the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. We're going to play some clips from Dana White and Dominic Cruz, also Taylor Twellman. We've got more also from ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Schwartz. We'll talk to Sam Mellinger. We'll talk to Gary Lezak. We'll talk to Adam Teicher. All that coming up next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.